Thank you. Praise the Lord.
I guess I should have worn my elevator shoes. Well, the title of this message is Eternal Glory. Now, we've heard about grace and glory, but how about glory? Grace and glory. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, Paul wrote in verse 17, he says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And then, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so, we know that in the future, we see the future. That's what we're looking for, is what's going to happen in the future. I know we forget those things which are behind, don't we? And in the future, we'll see the body of sin and death destroyed, and the soul made perfect and fit to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. And that's what we're looking forward to. Paul says, look at the unseen things. So, can we see ourselves more than conquerors? And crowned by the hand of Christ and then embraced in his arms? Can we see that? Are we looking to that? Are we seeing that? Are we looking forward to that time when we're glorified with him and made to sit together with him in his throne as the bride of the Lamb? Now, Peter said in 1 Peter 5:10, he says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect and establish you, strengthen and settle you. Now, how can we understand eternal glory? I've thought about that. How can you understand that? It should be our vision that we see. And eternal glory, it's eternal glory which was prepared in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul saw a little of this for a short time where he had confessed that he'd heard things that were unlawful for lawful for a man to even utter. And then Paul was a great master of the language. You know, he was very intelligent, we know that. But this overpowered him, this eternal glory, I'm sure that he saw. And it silenced him. But for us, how can we even describe this eternal glory? Or even Paul, he even breaks down here. Now, the eternal glory in the inheritance of the saints, Paul tells us that eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And our natural eyes have seen many wonderful things, haven't they? We've seen sunrises, sunsets. How about the blue moon the other night? You know, we've seen alpine glories, and we've seen ocean marvels, and all these different things we've seen with our own natural eyes. Yet nature cannot even give us an idea of the supernatural glory which God has prepared for us. For us. Our ears have heard sweet harmonies, even here today. We've heard sweet harmonies of music which thrill us. But there's no melody that can even ever describe the glory which God has laid up for all them that love him and love his appearing. And yet, Scripture says that he hath revealed it unto us by his Spirit. And what is the destiny of the saints? What is your destiny? It's eternal glory. That's where we're going. And how should we conduct ourselves when our destiny is eternal glory? How do we conduct ourselves? How should we live who are to live forever in glory? How do we live that way? How do we conduct ourselves? We're going to be with him forever in glory. Our destiny is we are called by God unto his eternal glory. Glory. Think of that word. What an astounding word that is. Glory. Think of the glory for us who have deserved eternal shame. He's prepared that for us. Now David said in Psalm 73:24, he said, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." Here's a key here. Glory. The counselor is the Holy Spirit by the Word of God. That's what he's doing in us. He's working in us by the Word of God. Then in Psalm 84:11, David said, "The Lord will give grace and glory." And I'd heard once that Brother Copley, that's where he got the name Grace and Glory. And David said, "The Lord give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Not only no good thing under the name of grace will God withhold from the upright, but also no good thing under the head of glory will he withhold from us. Our Lord Jesus has graciously promised us, hasn't he? "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne." Think of that. "Even as I also have overcome and am set down with my Father in his throne." We're going to be there one day. It's as good as ours. The Apostle Paul had human feelings, didn't he? He was very sensitive. He had a very tender spirit. He was sensitive to poverty and shame and sensitive to all those griefs which he bore for Christ's sake. Now, yet how bravely he stuck to the work of the gospel as he faced every danger that was out there. Now, what supported such a noble man under his trials and oppositions? Now, he had desires which the whole world could not even fulfill. How was it that when he was cast down, he was not destroyed? And when troubled, he was not distressed? What sustained him? He gives us a key, "For he counted his affliction light, because in his estimation, they were but for a moment for the glory that was coming." He saw that eternal glory. He knew what that was going to be for him. And when we have been called to his eternal glory, we are the people of God. And we've been predestinated and have been called with an effectual calling for this glory. Now, but have we been called so that we have obeyed the call? That's the question for many Christians out there. Do we obey that call? In our text, he said that he has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. We are called to repentance. We're called to obedience. We're called to faith. We're called to holiness. We're called to perseverance, and all this that we may obtain that eternal glory that's for us. In 1 Thessalonians 2:12, it says that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Walk worthy. Then Revelation 1:5-6, it says, he washed us from our sins with his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. The washing not only cleansed us, but it made us something. It made us somebody. We're kings and priests. Amen. And you know, I looked at that, and I really feel that at the cross, when he said it was finished, that he gave us a blood transfusion. Because when he came to this earth, as a man, he had my own blood of sin, shame. But on that cross, he gave us a blood transfusion. That's the only way you become noble and become a king or a priest, and you're in that bloodline. You have to have that bloodline. We were born again in Christ. We are called to reign with Christ in glory. And if the Lord had not meant us to have that glory, he wouldn't have called us. he by his Spirit would not have separated us unto himself. If he had not intended to keep us from falling and preserve us to be with him in eternity, he wouldn't have called us unto glory. Did you know that salvation itself is linked to glory? For in 2 Timothy 2:10 it says, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." The salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory, the two things are they're together. Then Paul said in Romans 9:23, he said that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. This is a process which started at redemption, and it's going on in us every day until we go home with him. And then the Apostle Paul tells us not to look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. It's a work of the Lord within us. It's invisible. We can't see it, but he's working in us. It's a paradox in a way. Sometimes there are things that are unseen in our lives because they exist in a blind spot. We can't see them. Other things, we didn't see them because we're not paying attention. Scientists recently have revealed some images from the James Webb telescope. It was kind of interesting. They said they looked so far out into outer space that they could see lights that were in existence when the Earth and the Sun were formed. They have never been able to see them before. And this telescope, it took 30 years to build this telescope and $10 billion to build. We could have saved them a whole lot of money. We could have simply told them to, as David said in Psalm 19:1, he said, "The heavens declare the glory of God." One of these scientists said, "The galaxies they were looking at now have always been in existence. They were not able to see them because they didn't have a telescope big enough to look that far back." The Word of God, to me, is the most powerful telescope. I know this because it gives me an understanding despite the things that we see or don't see in the natural. The hand of God is working on our behalf, and his plan is to grow us up and get us ready for that eternal glory. Now, they wondered. They wondered about things, you know, that they were seeing. The Apostle Paul, of course, is our example. And he gave God glory by preaching the gospel. It did not matter to him if people would say, "Oh, Paul, you'll risk your life preaching that gospel. Paul, if you tell such and such a truth in a certain place, you'll be sure to lose their respect." I know this has happened to many of us when we try to give out the gospel, when you give out the truth. Some people only want to hear what tickles their ears. We know that. They don't want this glory gospel that we have. But let us not lose anything rather than missing pleasing God. For this pleases the Lord. In Hebrews 2:10, Paul said, "We are to be brought into glory, to glory." Hebrews 2:10, it says, "For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Now we have a captain who will bring us there. Our road is rough, isn't it? And it's plagued with many enemies. But there's a captain of our salvation who's leading us through many difficulties and treacherous ways. But there's a captain of our salvation leading us to that glory land. He's leading us through all these treacherous ways, and he's bringing the many sons unto glory. Glory shall surely follow upon grace, won't it? For Christ our Lord, who has come unto his glory, will bring the many sons to be with him. Paul wrote in Colossians 1:16, he says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or things, they were created by him and for him." There are certain things we see with our natural eyes, but there are many things in existence today that we cannot even see them because God created them invisible. He's created a lot of things invisible. They are real, we just can't see them. It took a team of 20,000 scientists and engineers over 30 years and $10 billion to build this James Webb telescope, which confirms Romans 1:20, which says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." They looked through this telescope and they saw galaxies shining, this light that comes from when the world began, they say. One of these scientists, he said, I was speechless when I looked through it. He got just one glimpse of this awesome creation of God. What wonderful things God is doing internally in his people. He's building us and growing us up. That's glorious to me. That's glorious. Most people today are basing their decisions on what they naturally see, but the eyes of faith through the lens of God's word should be our basis for everything. So what is glory? What is it? You can't see it. But the natural, in a lot of natural people, it's understood to be fame or great reputation, men's applauses, high places, things of that nature. Solomon's glory was rare, wasn't it? Rare wisdom, concealing all, it was above all others. It was an immense glory, in a sense. But Solomon's glory, the Lord said, Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You. You're his lilies. Men today think glory is a position or a power or a conquest. It is a thing that makes the ears tingle when they hear it. All of this is just a dim shadow against God's glory. We will have this glory when we get there. We will have that. We're working on it now. And we shall be known as a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. We will have that eternal glory of a purified character. Get that. In Isaiah 43:7, it says, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." This is our purpose. Why were we created? It's to give him glory. To give him glory. The brightest glory that really can come to anyone is the glory of character. I want his character. How is this character developed? Well, God produces his character in the lives of believers by faith in Christ with the power of the Holy Spirit by the word of God. We need a diet of the word of God. God's glory among men, it's his goodness. It's his mercy. It's his justice, his truth, and much more. God's Holy Spirit, when he's finished his work, he'll leave no trace of sin in us. No temptation shall touch us. There will be no relics of our past or fallen state. One day the devil himself will not be able to detect a fault in God's people. God is working on our behalf through the Holy Spirit by His Word. And the Lord is here today, walking through His sanctuary. He's among us. Now there are unseen angels, I believe, in this place. For in Psalm 91:11 it says, "For He shall give His angels, plural, charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." Saints, we don't need to worry about our loved ones. We need to pray for them, yes. But God is doing a work. He's doing a work. And we cannot see it, but we feel it. We feel the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's preparing us for eternal glory. In Roman days of old, they called a glory when valiant warriors would return from the fields with blood of the captives and the spoils. That was glory. The heroes would ride through the streets of Rome and enjoying their triumph. For a while they had all this glory, and the city was glorious because of them. Glory among men means admiration and approval. It is man's glory. When he's honored by the king or the queen, they hang a medal on his chest. But to me, the most invaluable ingredient in true glory is a divine approval of having His character. His character by His Word, growing us up. When one day God says to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful in a few things, over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." To me, that's eternal glory. Praise the Lord. One approving glance from the eyes of Jesus, one accepting word from the mouth of my Father will be glory enough for any one of us. This is ours if we follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. How? Through the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit. But this is not all. We will have the glory of reflecting the glory of God. We will see the greatness of God's goodness and mercy and love by looking at glorified saints as well. But much more, what will it be when we look unto Jesus' face? What will it be? What shall we? We shall be mirrors reflecting God as in us, and we shall have His glory, which will be revealed. It will be revealed. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, the sons of the Lord God Almighty." What glory this will be. Our glory is by Christ Jesus, and we shall share in His glory. We will share in His glory. We'll be members of His, we are members of His body. We are one with Him. He is our exceeding great joy. This glory is for His chosen, and it will never come to an end. We'll always be with Him in that glory. I think of it as a plant. As a plant gets just a little water and a little sun. You put a plant in a dark place and all of a sudden you look at it and say, "Oh, wow, this thing needs some sun and needs some water." God's people need the Word. Yes. Just a little water, just a little sunlight, and they'll grow. But they're not getting it. Even most Christians are filled with worries because They're not looking through the right lens. The Word of God is our lens. Paul said, the unseen is eternal, the seen is temporal. Paul, he's discussing two ways to gain perspective. One is a natural way, letting our senses of sight and our natural senses of our natural senses go, but it's the sight of our faith in the Word of God. So what does it mean to walk by faith and not by sight? It is we take God's Word and use it like a lens. Scientists think they have lenses strong enough to see back to the beginning of time. We know that the Word of God is the lens that gives us the clear perspective of everything that's going on in this world. While the supernatural lens of God's Word goes by the wayside. Now, when we look through the eyes of faith by the lens of God's Word, it confirms that God is in control. He's in control of everything. These scientists say that they were looking back to the beginning of time when the Big Bang occurred. Well, I can look through the lens of God's Word and tell them right where the Big Bang occurred. Genesis 1:3. God said, "Let there be light." Bang! There was light. The Bible tells us all we need to know about the life that we're living. It tells us everything. It's the map. It's the map to our lives. If it is in the book, we are to believe it and behave like we believe it. Therefore, there are a lot of folks that say they believe the Bible, but they don't behave like they believe it. As for eternal things of heaven, they seem dim and they can't see. They can't see things. But it must not be so with us. We must continue. The things eternal I must pursue, for we are called to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. The scope of my soul's desire in life must be this gospel and eternity to follow. The purpose of the angels was to give God glory. The Bible tells us that 1/3 of the angels refused to give God glory. They were deceived by another angel, Lucifer, weren't they? He wanted the glory for himself, so they were kicked out of heaven. So if people don't give God glory with their lives, I ask you this question. Are they any better than fallen angels? When we give God glory, we are reminding every fallen angel they messed up. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Wherefore you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." All. We do all. Now, he uses food and drink. Why? Because that's the basic function of every human being. And every one of us eats and drinks. This doesn't have much to do with your diet, but it has to do with everything you do. Do all to the glory of God. Psalm 16:2 says, "All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes." Today, there's so much deception going on out there. You know, you see, they want to defund the police and all of that sort of stuff. Well, all of that's already happened. I work for the government, and it's already happened in the government. We can't go into banks and tell them what to do because we don't have any regulation anymore. They've defunded that. So the deception's out there, and it's going at a faster and faster rate. So all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. Oh, it's okay. It's legal. But is it pleasing to the Lord? We may be in heaven before this meeting is over with. Light is fading from earth. Dear friends, we must look towards heaven. That's where our glory is. Surely the Word of God is for us. Study the Word of God. For the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered just a little while, he'll make you perfect and he'll establish you and he'll make you fit and settle you. He'll settle you in all the things of God for his eternal glory. Amen.
I don't know if our lunch is anywhere near ready. Do we anyway, I wanted to make a couple of announcements here. If you do have a special song, be sure and let me know. And then we're trying to get together a group song for tonight. And if you're interested in being in that, I was thinking about, you know, even now I might be able to practice it, especially after the afternoon service. There will be a practice to get that ready for the evening service. Trying to figure out when to start the afternoon service, whether 1:30 or 2, owing to whether people can get cleaned up or not. We have some very faithful workers in the kitchen. We are very grateful for them. So we'll just try to establish that, whether it's 1:30 or 2, as we go on. Amen. Right now, I think we're just going to sing a closing song, and then we will go ahead and dismiss the meeting, give you a time to... I know that I have really enjoyed visiting with some that I have not seen for a good while. And that's really a part of the fellowship that God has given, uplifting, upbuilding one another. So let's sing.
Let's stand and turn to 2:10.
Thank you.
been told that our lunch is ready. We have already feasted upstairs. Now we shall eat some more downstairs and rejoice in the Lord for what he has provided. Praise God. Brother Ty, would you dismiss the service and ask a blessing on the food?